The federal judge blocked rules this week in Arkansas and Kentucky that would require certain people to work as part of a Medicaid expansion program. While Arkansas was the first state to have this type of work policy, that state and Kentucky weren't the only ones making moves in that direction. Similar rules exist in Indiana and New Hampshire, and Wisconsin is also among a small number of states that have received federal approval for those requirements but haven't put those into practice yet. Now, lawmakers and policy analysts alike are weighing next steps in these cases and what it means. Donna Friedsam is a researcher and health policy programs director at the University of Wisconsin-Madison Population Health Institute. Donna, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be with you.
So the judge made this ruling saying, in effect, these work rules got in the way of the core goal of Medicaid, providing medical coverage to those in need. What's your takeaway on these rulings?
Right. So Judge Blasberg used very strong language, actually, in stating that that CMS, the federal agency that approved these rules, acted in a way that was arbitrary and capricious in approving these rules and were in violation of the core objectives of the Medicaid program, which is to extend medical coverage to the needy. So that language is pretty directive in sending a message to the federal agency, at least that how this one federal judge views these work requirements in seeing them as not being permitted under federal law.
Now, the Republican governor of Arkansas, Asa Hutchinson, is calling for the Trump administration to appeal the ruling. Is it likely that this is not the final ruling on work requirements under Medicaid?
Yes, this is definitely not the final ruling. I would expect to see a number of appeals related to work requirements and litigation in other states as well.
I know it probably varies from state to state, but in general, how have states been putting these work requirements into practice?
So there's many states that have proposed various forms of work requirements and only a few that have approved versions of the work requirements, and virtually none that have actually implemented yet. Arkansas and Kentucky being the ones that had begun some form of implementation. So, what we know is that it's very difficult to get these work requirement provisions underway, and they have been subject to a lot of legal dispute. And so we don't have a lot of experience yet in knowing whether these are even viable programs.
Who do they tend to apply to? What group of people would be affected by these requirements?
Again, every state has its own version of these requirements. In other states, they apply to all adults below a certain age, whether it's below age 50 or below age 60. Wisconsin's provisions apply to what is frequently referred to as childless adults or adults without dependent children, and they would be adults between the ages of 19 and 49, so under age 50.
Talking to Donna Friedsam from the University of Wisconsin-Madison Population Health Institute, looking at a court ruling blocking work requirements for people receiving Medicaid in two states, Arkansas and Kentucky. Let's bring this home, Donna. Where is Wisconsin when it comes to, we've got these federally approved requirements. They aren't in place yet. Where are we right now?
So the decision that occurred this week is only binding with regard to the two states that were in question in that court, which were Arkansas and Kentucky. But the language could be persuasive on other states that may be facing litigation, and if litigation were to occur in Wisconsin. But for now, if Wisconsin wants to go ahead with its waiver, it will go ahead, and unless CMS tells it otherwise. And so currently state law says that the state must implement the waiver within a year of approval, so it would need to be implemented by November 1st. And unless CMS instructs the state otherwise, and CMS would do so based on how they decide to react, depending on the judges, how they want to react to the judge's language. But it's also important to recognize that Wisconsin's waiver language is quite different than other state waivers with regard to the structure of work requirements. So you know, the way Wisconsin has it structured, the concern is much more related, I think, to confusion around who is eligible, who is required to participate in these requirements and the like. And we're likely to see people losing coverage or attrition from coverage more related to confusion or administrative burdens for compliance than we are that people simply that than because people are not complying.
Under Wisconsin's policy, again, not yet implemented, what would someone have to do, that childless adult, say, have to do to establish that they were meeting the requirement for work or similar comparable activity?
Well, Wisconsin's waiver has it that people would have 48 months of eligibility available to them, and if they participate in various work or community engagement requirements within that those 48 months, it essentially stops the clock on that 48 month limit. And once they reach those 48 months of eligibility while not participating in those requirements, then they lose eligibility for a 6 month period, and then they may reapply for coverage. So there's nobody in Wisconsin that would immediately lose coverage, but during that period, they're going to need to report about what kinds of things they are or are not participating in. And the state is going to need to make significant investments in various kinds of reporting mechanisms for people to tell the state what kinds of activities they are or are not engaging in. And so the state can track during that 48-month period what is going on. And that's really the question for the state, is what kinds of administrative costs it's going to sink into the program, considering that there is this threat of litigation and possibility that the federal government might have to roll back these work requirements entirely.
One of the arguments in favor of these requirements is the idea that, okay, for this group, maybe it's childless adults, able-bodied is a phrase that's often used. For people who could be working, the argument is maybe they should be working. Supporters of work requirements say they don't want this to be a Medicaid handout. They don't want it to be a disincentive to work. Given that we haven't done this really in states yet, is there any kind of evidence to suggest that it might work that way?
We don't really have good evidence at this point to understand how these work requirements function. What we know is that most adults who are enrolled in Medicaid are currently working or attached to households where there is an employed adult. Those who are not working, most of them report that they are home taking care of a ill or sick family member, or that they are temporarily ill or disabled themselves, or they're in school. So it looks like many people will be subject to various exemptions to the work requirements, and that there will be a minority of the currently eligible people who would be actually subject to the work requirements. So what we believe, or what many believe, is that the issue with losing eligibility in these kinds of programs is not necessarily that people are not able to or willing to comply with the work requirements, and in fact, many people are already working. Rather, the concern is that, like I said, these administrative burdens, or the what other people refer to as ordeal mechanisms, are enough to make it difficult for people to maintain their eligibility and their coverage. And that's what we saw in Arkansas, is just simply the difficulty of people in reporting their participation in various activities.
In our last few moments, I understand Governor Evers, in his budget proposal, wants to get out of this waiver and end these work requirements. What are you watching for there as this budget process moves along?
Well, that's really going to depend. I mean, his budget, his proposed budget does eliminate many of the provisions of the existing waiver and instead proposes Medicaid expansion up to 138% of the federal poverty level, as the Affordable Care Act would have defined it, and provides for taking more federal money. So, but it will really depend on how the Republican legislature wants to handle his budget, and it seems unlikely that they're going to go for what the governor had proposed in terms of the rollback of the waiver. But we'll really have to see how the state and the legislature views these court decisions and whether they want the state to make these administrative investments, given the threat of litigation and what might happen in the future.
Donna, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Donna Friedsam is a researcher and health policy programs director at the UW-Madison Population Health Institute. She joined us for a look at recent moves at the federal level involving work rules for Medicaid recipients.